Good morning. Yes. As I've been kind of traveling backwards, banging my head on the desk when I was a younger guy. Well, something else happened. Do we have that up, Cambo? Is that coming up, or are we still having issues here? Oh, there we go. Running the race. You know, when I was younger, I think I probably was sixth grade or something like that. We, you know, one of the teachers would get us together and we'd do different type of things, and we had track. And I was, I don't know how long I was sick, maybe a week or two. I was out of school, and then I came back and my body was kind of just, it was raring to go. And we had this, a 200 yard dash. It goes around our little track there. And, I was up on the last lane, the outer lane. Okay, and everybody else, and my greatest competitor, I think he was probably either the first or second lane. So that, and when he said go, boy, did I go! I felt like I was like a cannonball shot out there, a cannon. I was zipping and I was going around, you know. And when you're on the outer lane, you're way ahead of everybody. You start way ahead of them, yeah. Do you remember that? If you look at a track, how they start you off, they stagger you because you're, you know, if you're further out, yeah. Nancy's going, I don't know. Well, watch. Next track meet, would you? All right. So I was zipping, you know, coming around, going, yeah, I'm going, there's nobody, nobody in my peripheral. I'm going, yeah, I'm winning this easy. I was just cruising. And my friend was sitting there right at the end of the first turn. He was going like this, yeah, good. I'm going, why is he going so wild? I have this already, you know, I'm way out. Well, I got into the straightaway of the track, and I was just going, whew, yeah, feeling good. And then when I came into that last turn coming around, then my periphery caught people coming up, especially my main competitor. And I could see him, and we could see one another on the side of our eyes, and we're kind of going, like that, just stretching, and you know, these little legs are going as fast as they can, and we're just time. I would have threw something at him, I had it, but I didn't have it. And then we just come on to the end of get past the finish line. And of course, the teacher was merciful and he gave me the victory. So, can you believe that? I won a 200 yard dash. Yes, thank you. Go forward a little bit. In seventh grade, we're doing a mile run. Okay? Timed. I got this, baby. Yeah, mile run. Woo. Got up there. Go! Oh, I shot out like a cannonball. Cool. It was like gliding. The first two laps, they were so far behind me, if I look back, I'd probably fall over, you know, as they were that far back. So I was just cruising. Second lap, it's going, yeah. And then when I turned, going into that third lap, the body just started going, the heart was starting to go, and the legs were going, ooh, and the lungs were going, air, air. By the time I finished, and I kept going, just a little bit slower pace. I was the last one because everybody else was blown past me on the third and fourth lap. Okay, so when you're running a race, you have to kind of figure out what kind of race you're running, okay? Are you doing the sprint? Okay, you go all out. But if you're doing a longer run, then you kind of pace yourself. You got to keep steady. What, Mike, you're not crying for me, are you? Okay, I was just picking that up there. I just, compassion, that's about it. But you know, so you have to know. Well, for the Christian race, you know, it's kind of both, truthfully, because every day you sprint to the finish. Did you know that? Every day, every moment, you got to sprint for Christ. You know, you're putting it all out there. You know, make every effort. Like it says here, you know, the goal, the daily goal, and the ultimate goal, you know, so make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Why? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So that's it. So every day, sprint. You know, break the finish line just in front of that other guy. It doesn't matter really what place you finish, just that you finish truthfully. But you finish making every effort at it. And then also you have the ultimate goal of the mile run, where you have to be steady day after day, moment to moment, pulling on those pants even when you don't want to pull them on anymore. You don't want to get out of bed, or you don't want to go to school or go to work, or you don't want to talk to your family anymore or your friends, or you know, things are, you know, it's you know, you're going through struggles of one thing or another, and it's just that, oh, can I just take another stride? You know, it's just, it's so that, so it's that ultimate race, you know. So the day to day, then it becomes a lifelong race to the ultimate finish line where we come to Christ. And that's the running the race. And that's pretty much what the author of Hebrews really is, who's God, is writing it. And he's just using somebody to put it in human language so we can understand them. And he's telling us, hey, be consistent, be persistent, be resilient, but keep going. And I'm the one that's going to sustain you. I'll preserve you. If you start to stumble, stumble to me. Stumble to me. I will take care of you. And that's our God. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, we thank you for your word and for the hope that we have in you and for the time that we can share together in your word. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, just ask that you open up our hearts and minds to things of you, to guide us ever so closer to you, to draw us to you, Lord, as never before, even to break our hearts to where we will receive you in our hearts. Father God, we need you. So I pray that you bless this message, that your name be honored and glorified in all of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. That race. I still remember, you know, that was kind of a while ago. I still remember it so clearly. Have you ever had that in your life? You know, you can remember that when you're 5 years old, 6 years old, or something that's wonderful. And I'm not talking about the bad thing. I'm talking about those times where you celebrate, you know, something, somebody said something or you did something that was just magnificent and you just can't get it out of your mind. Well, you know, my opponent, his name was Eddie Rutherford, and we when we went to, you know, the junior high and high school and stuff, or whenever I saw him, we'd always kind of look at one and going, yeah, that was a great race, even way back then. So I hope that you have something like that in your life, and especially, you know, when you have Christ in your life, that is actually your most glorious moment right there. That's something always to cherish, always to hold on to, because you didn't do anything about it, really. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But you did receive a gift with an open heart. And God used that and moves in us. And so this now, you know, when you go back to what we studied just before in chapter 12, remember Coach V? Do you remember Coach V? Victory. He's going victory, victory in Christ. He's saying, hey, come on. We got to get you ready for every day. You know, look at your heroes, you know, how they went for it. Just get some encouragement. And then fix your eyes on the true prize. You know, that's Jesus. You know, fix your eyes on him. Don't take your eyes off of him. Right? And then he says, well, you know, those things are kind of holding you down and slowing you down, all this stuff. Just trim down, you know, take it off, you know, throw them aside. You don't need those anymore. And then he gives us that great finish line speech, you know, like, come on. Come on, get those legs strong. Get those arms strong. Why? Not just for you, but for people around you. You are a witness, just like the cloud of witnesses they were talking about before. But we are witnesses to our family and our friends, our neighbors, and all the people around us. So he was just reminding us. Now he comes back to this, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty of your training program. What it looks like to run the race. So now he's going to a directive saying, see to it. All right. And so as we see, you know, what do we see to? What do you want us to do? Well, first of all, one of the bigger things is here is don't fall short of God's grace. And what does that mean? Well, for us and for others, right, we have to be careful how we run the race, because a lot of times things happen in our lives and we miss out on grace. See, that guy fell short of the finish line. You know, there was something going on in his life, and he just couldn't get on, get moving. If you look at Philippians 2, you kind of look at a little bit, get a little bit better understanding of what is going on there. Let's see if I can get to that Philippians 2. I thought I marked that, but maybe I didn't. Philippians 2. I can turn these little pages. And 3-4 says this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So there's a lot of grace in that. God has given us grace, you know, that undeserved favor, and we are to do that with others as well. So don't stop short of that. You know, we have been given everything in Christ. We are richer than we can ever account for. And so now we can share those riches with others by showing them much grace. We can show them the kindness and actually look after their interests before we even have to look after our own, because we know God is going to, He's already watching over our interests. So He has what's best in mind for us. And so we can do the same for others around us so they can see Christ in us. And so we don't want them to fall short of glory and grace, because they got to see that working in our lives, and also we don't want to through our own. Because, you know, whenever there is selfish ambition, when there's pride, you know what happens? It's called disunity. See, remember, that goal was to live in peace with everyone, yeah? And to be holy for God, to live a holy life before God. Well, he does not like disunity. So there has to be a unity, and there has to be harmony. There has to be grace abounding. So when your pride comes up and you feel it coming on, and you know it when it's coming on, because sometimes it feels so good at the moment of even thinking it or saying it or doing something that shows that pride, and then it causes disruption in the family. And we need to be careful of that. And it says there, as we go on, going back to Hebrews, and we need to be careful of this bitter root that grows up to cause trouble and defiles many. And so what is that, you know, that root, that bitter root? Well, it has a lot to do with that pride issue, the envy, the jealousy, the selfish ambitions and stuff that we have. That's called a bitter root. That's what separates us. And in Deuteronomy, I'll read that for you. It says, this is what it's written here by the hand of Moses here. It says, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. So it's also who we're worshiping, right? You know, and that root can, you know, we have to pray, you know, in the church that root will not set in, because there's a lot of false teachings. There's a lot of things, the enemy's attacks in different ways. We see it throughout the history of the church. How the Judaizers would follow Paul, you know, and they'd be trying to talk pretty much different, opposite of what Paul is presenting, you know, the grace. And they're saying, no, there's no grace. There's secrets. There's a law. We must follow the law still and all these things. So you got all these things going on in the church. So this bitter root that tries to grow in, and we see it even in the church today. You know, if we have to be very careful that doesn't set into where our eyes, our hearts are starting to move in any direction besides Christ, who is the head of the church, and we must submit to his authority. When we do not submit to Christ's authority, then we are starting to get on dangerous ground where a bitter root. If you ever seen weeds come to my lawn, if you haven't, Especially in the springtime, it's beautifully yellow. And you pull those weeds, about five more come up. So you know, weeds and this bitter root is very much the same. And then he warns us about this Esau. This Esau syndrome, if you know the story of Esau, he was the twin brother of Jacob. And Jacob, Esau was hunting, and he's come back. He was so hungry. And he saw that Jacob was making some a meal. And he's going, oh, I need some of that soup. I'm starving. He says, well, give me your birthright. And what does he say? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I need some soup. Let me have that tomato soup. Because my birthright really doesn't mean anything. All right? So that's the type, that's where his heart was, right? He was interested in the now, the things that would comfort him and make things easy for him. He wasn't thinking about the things of God. And I guarantee you, there was no repentance when the birthright was given, and then also the blessings were given to Jacob through trickery. But it would have come to him anyways, because Esau's heart was in another time zone. It wasn't in the things of God. He was in the world thinking about his own kingdom building. He was not a God kingdom builder. He wasn't thinking about God's kingdom at all. And then so when he wept, he was trying to manipulate his dad, saying, please, don't you have another blessing? And Isaac's going, not for you. Yeah, I already gave it all to Jacob, your brother. So what was in Esau's heart, not only was he trying to manipulate the situation and there was no repentance, then he started to think about vengeance, killing his brother. So watch out for this Esau syndrome, where your heart is chasing after other things besides what God has for us. And when he gives us something like salvation as a gift, don't throw it away. Because that's pretty much what Esau was doing with that birthright. He was given the riches. He was the person with the birthright. They got the biggest share of the inheritance. Did you know that? Of the families back then. He gave that up for bowl soup. Now, for me, pumpkin pie, that would be a tough challenge. If you put whipped cream on it, even tougher. All right, so that, but I trust I would stay with the Lord. Some of you might not, though. Or me, I don't know. We'll see. But those are things that are very important. Then you go into like the sexual immorality, live a life of purity because, these days it's so easy. And back then, you think things are different today than back then? Nope, sorry. People are people. And we're always looking for what's gratifying our fleshly desires, right? And take the easy way. Don't have to wait for anything. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Well, you can talk to many people who have gone ahead and did it and all the issues that come up with that. And there's a warning in that. And what that does, it just weighs us down. So when we're running, sometimes we get tripped or we stumble. By God's grace, we keep coming towards him. Okay? He's not rejecting us, but he's saying, watch out. See to it that you walk in another way, that you walk in a pure way. See to it. Because in Corinthians, this one prayer, I like to pray for my boys, and you should pray for everybody, really. Be on your guard, right? Guarding your hearts. Watch out, right? Put on that armor of God. Stand firm in faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do all things in love. There will be no bitter root growing in that type of atmosphere. And a question for us, what sins are robbing you of God's enabling grace? So what's hanging on to you? What's causing you to stumble? Something to think about, pray about. And we continue on. I don't know. I'm sorry. This might be a little bit small for you guys. I thought it looked pretty, so I just said, okay, I'll keep it up there, even though it's small for some people's eyes. You can always come up front. There's chairs up here and stuff like that. Tammy's looking at me going, yeah, right. I'm going to get close to you. Yeah, well, she might be right. Just stay there. But these are things you're looking at, what's going on in the scripture here. Now he's given us those little list. Now he's saying, hey, you know, look where you are. See, because back then, these guys were at Mount Sinai, and that mountain was shaking and quaking, and there was a fire, and there was a big voice that just blew us away. And the law was given, and that law was as cold and hard as stone that it was chiseled on. Oh, it had good purposes, perfectness to it. But it was there. And then Abel's blood, you're going, well, what about Abel's blood? Well, when he died, it went into the ground. And you know what it did? What was it doing? His blood was crying out of the ground, going, I want vengeance, justice. See, that's the old covenant, right? And then he's saying, no, look where you are. You're not there anymore. Don't go back to that. No, you're in this new dispensation. You're at Mount Zion. Millions of angels singing. And the saints coming before and just rejoicing. There's joy. There's freedom. And there's hope. And there's forgiveness. Because Christ's blood, which cries out, it doesn't cry for vengeance, even though it could. Certainly deservedly so. Cries out forgiveness. It flows with forgiveness, mercy, and grace. So the difference between there. So what do you want to live in? Do you want to go back to those, to the rock, to the stone, to the law, being terrified? Or do you want to come before Christ and come into his presence and be close to him, the one who is loving and kind, who's given his life for us? And you think about the Revelation 7, 9, 10, remember that scene? Somebody's there, and there's people of all tribes and languages and nations that are just glorifying God, you know, praising the Lord, praising glory to the Lamb, right? Worthy is the Lamb, where our salvation comes from him. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's what we are part of. So don't lose sight of that. That's what the writer is saying. Don't lose sight. Don't go back. You know, because these guys, they're struggling. There's people taking their possessions. They're putting in prison. They're persecution. All this stuff is coming at them. They're going, man, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if this race is worth it. I want to turn back and just go to the starting line. And I want to go back before the starting line. I want to go back to my home, where I used to be, where my comfort was. And he's saying, no, press forward. Press forward because it's already there for you. Press into it. Lean into it. Even that wind blowing so hard, just keep striding. Don't stop. The question is, when you're running out of your lane, and you know, if you run out of your lane, that's a no-no. All right, Nancy, that's a no-no. Okay, so I was on that outside lane. I didn't cut over to the inside lane and take advantage, okay? I stayed on the outside lane all the way around. Okay, so when you're going out of your lane, there's an issue because your eyes or something happened or your heart, there's something going on. I want this so bad. I'm going to cut, and I'm going to elbow this guy out of my way, and I'm going for victory, right? Or your eyes get taken off on something else, like my friend. I'm going, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. Let me join it. I want to do this too. You know, that. You know, so your eyes get taken off of your goal. No, you know, look where you are and keep your eyes on Christ. No eye rolling. You know what I'm talking about. If you got kids, you know, oh, Nancy, don't do that to me. That hurts. Yeah, look at that. Marilyn's just looking at me going, what are you going to say next? And Don's going, yeah, I can't wait. Oh, Don, thank you for the eye roll there. That's a good one. I like that one. So no eye rolling. Okay, so when people, you know, the coach is going, yeah, come on, you got to get strong. And you're kind of going, yeah, sure. Yeah, right. You know, and then so he's saying this, he's going, hey, why? Because see to it that, you know, don't refuse him who speaks. So he gives us warnings. He gives us teachings. And we're going to go on, yeah, right. Well, we're going to be in big trouble. When the coach is saying, you better be here and you better do this training, so that, and you need to be here at, you know, 8 in the morning or whatever it is, and you got to do this till then, you got to do these type of exercises and all that, and you're going, yeah, right. Well, I guarantee you, you can yeah, right yourself right off the team. You're going to be on the bench, you're watching everybody going, everybody else running the race. You're going to put yourself on the bench, truthfully. And see, too, it's a, don't refuse all that, you know, because it says here, there's a shaking going on. It's a house cleaning. All those things, all those little things that we build in our lives that we think, oh, they're so nice, you know, those little knickknacks, woo, yeah. Well, go to California and get hit by earthquake at 3 in the morning. See what holds up. Yeah. I've been there. Only the things that are nailed down hold up. The other things go, all those little knickknacks, ooh, they're so valuable. I put so much time in them. As you're walking on them, and your feet are getting cut by them as you're running outside trying to get out of your house. God's going to do that. He's going to shake everything out. Only those things that are eternal will remain. His word, his people. And other people too, because they'll be judged. There is a judgment coming because they say he is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. If you look at that, I'm not, you know, 2 Thessalonians, you can look that up yourself. You know, he's a, you know, there's a judgment coming for the unbelievers. And he is a consuming fire. We can't escape it before a holy God. We can't meet a standard. He is glorious, you know, that pillar of fire that was above the mountain. And, you know, Moses could see it. The people could see it. It's just his glory. So bright. And then there's a protection too, you know, that pillar of fire. You know, when he had that pillar going up between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He is a consuming fire that we have to deal with in our lives. So no eye rolling. Because, he's warning us. He's giving us fair warning time and time again and all the help and the words of encouragement, all that stuff. So, you know, when we start going off our own direction, well, there's nowhere else to go. Because now you go back to Hebrews 10. If you deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifices left. So where are you looking? It's only Christ. Christ, there's one time Christ only can sacrifice his life for us, a perfect, sinless life for us. So we can be saved. So our sins are judged already. They're taken care of through Christ's blood, through his death. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. You don't want to be an enemy of God. I tell you. I remember when I was a kid and I saw that track and I saw that guy burning and the scary demons coming after him, you know, to bring him into that fire. It scared me. And it got me kind of starting to think about God a lot more. Now, I didn't commit my life until a lot later. But I knew there was a God. And by his grace, he saved me. No sacrifice left. See, our work's going to be tested. Did you not? Even as Christians, you know, what we're building in this life of ours, the way we're running, you know, it's going to be tested. If anyone builds on the foundation, and that's the foundation of Christ we're talking about, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, we're talking about that judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. So what are you building? What are you building on? What kind of ground are you building on? Because it will be tested in the fire. And those who built with straw and wood and all that stuff, and it gets burned up, okay, that their work's done, but they will be saved still because they're still followers of Christ. God knows his own, but as a stick pulled out of the fire, just barely, kind of like, just by his grace, the rewards are burned up, right? We're thinking about rewards, but if we don't build his kingdom, we build our own, while we run the race, and our race might be, we might be off, getting off here and getting out there often. And yeah, it's because of where our eyes are fixed upon. We're fixed upon my kingdom, so it makes me run off this way, or your kingdom, running off this way, and Christ's kingdom is here. So he's given us fair warning. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. So yeah, take a knee. Really, that's what they're saying. You know, take a knee. Worship God alone, the living God, the great I am. Worship him alone in reverence and awe. You know, see to it that you keep those little details in your lives straight with God. And when they're falling off the path, bring it before the Lord. You know, where are you looking? Well, you start looking somewhere else. Ask the Lord to help you get your gaze back on him. He's gracious. He'll take care of us. No eye rolling. And where are you? Where are you going? What is your goal? What are you standing on? What are you building on? That fire tested. And they come back to what Isaiah said a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, he wrote this. I don't know, what, 1500? I can't remember what it is between Isaiah and us today, but it's still beautiful, isn't it? Let's read that together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Remember that. It says it all, doesn't it? Take those strides. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, and there's going to be a time when you cross that finish line, ultimate finish line, and Christ is going to be there. Well done, man. Well done. Well done. Come. Enjoy. Enjoy your life with me forever. All those other things that you went through, they're gone. They're for a short while, some people a long while. But for eternity, we're in his presence, sharing in a great banquet with him forever. It's worth running the race, right? Trying your best. Striding all you can to that finish line, not knowing if you won or not, but you know what? God's saying, you run your best. I'll take care of the victory. It's in me. Send me alone. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word of encouragement and this hope that we have in you and the joy that we have in Christ. What you have done for us is amazing. Help us to fix our eyes upon you, to take heed to these words, and to know that we are standing before a holy God, not of terrifying a word, you know, just a law and heart, you know, just not think of judgment, all that, but a God of hope and of peace and of joy and of love and forgiveness. And may we hold on to that and stay in the lane with that. And so we can be a witness to the people around us so they will see this as well, so they can be brought into your kingdom, so they can get in that lane and run the race with you day to day and throughout our lives to the very end, till we reach eternity with you. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say,